Revelation 14, let's begin reading at verse 1 of just 20 verses. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on his forehead. I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. I heard the voice of harpers harping with their hearts. They sung as it were a new song, with new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And their mouth hath found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having an everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the mountains of waters, fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fine brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for our grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. And blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by a space of 1,600 furlongs. Some chapter, huh? Okay, let's look at it. Now, we saw these 144,000 male virgin Jews back over in chapter 7 of Revelation. We saw them in chapter 7. We see them in chapter 14. There's another couple of 7s. 7 and 14 just for the chapters that they're in. At any rate, we got 144,000. That's 12 times 12,000. 12,000 from each tribe. There's 12 tribes, and there's 12,000 out of each tribe. We got 144,000. Let's see what they are. Is this the church triumphant? No, not if you read Scripture. It says here, first of all, I saw a lamb. He stood on Mount Zion. With him 144,000 having his father's name written on their forehead. His father's name written on their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters and the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with a harp. He didn't know there was any harps in heaven. He thought that was just imagination, didn't he? Here they are, harpers harping with their harps. Out of heaven. Amen? I may play a harp someday. How about that? Beautiful music. Now, number two, they had their father's name written in their foreheads. Number two, they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four beasts, the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So they sing a new song. They are redeemed from the earth. Verse 4, these are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are unmarried, unexperienced men. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. It's sort of like David's mighty men. You know, he got his mighty soldiers that follow him wherever he goes. And these are the honor guard of the Lamb. They follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These are redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So they're the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Now, when we saw them in chapter 7, it tells us which tribes they were of. It tells us the 12 tribes, 12,000 each tribe. These are Jews, male, virgin Jews, saved to be the honor guard of the Lamb. These are the great preachers of the gospel that carry the message during the tribulation period. and whatever other ministry they may have, I don't know. But at least they're a very interesting company that we have here. It says, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Without fault before the throne of God. Look at Ezekiel 36:26. Let's see what it says. Ezekiel 36:26. He said, and a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. Okay, look at verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Now, think with me just a minute. First of all, haven't you thought that it'd be a good idea for God to preach with angels? Haven't you listened to all the sorry preachers there are in the world? I mean, the good fundamental men, they're all saved and they love the Lord, but, you know, you think, boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if God just used an angel to preach this message? Wouldn't have to work with the personalities of men, and this one, people like one preacher and dislike another one, and then one preacher's got a following and another one's got a different following and all the different things. Like, wouldn't it be just tremendous if God used an angel? Well, we get down to the tribulation period, and what's he using? He's using an angel. He's preaching an everlasting gospel. Notice what he's saying. Notice what he's saying. Saying with a loud voice, fear God. Give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of water. As he reaches out and preaches to the earth, here's what he has to say to them. Fear God. Give glory to him. His judgment has come. I mean, it's the hour. This is your last shot, my friend. The last hour. Judgment time's here. You know, we preach to a lot of people today, and we tell them, fear God, give glory to him, worship him, seek his face. Judgment is coming. This angel said, the hour of his judgment's come. It's here. Judgment time's coming. Here's God's mercy with an angel from heaven gleaning the last grapes, gleaning the last soul, whatever. Worship him that made heaven, earth, sea, and the fountains of water. All right, there's an angel preaching the everlasting gospel for them that are on the earth. To every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Doesn't tell us how many get saved. Doesn't tell us whether a bunch get saved and nobody gets saved. But it does tell us that here in this tribulation period, after God has done some of the things that he's done, he's got an angel preaching from heaven, flying around the skies, preaching, fear God, give glory to him, his judgment day is here. Worship him that made the heaven and the earth. I think it's a great idea. I believe an angel could do a better job than I'm doing today. I believe an angel would do a better job than Spurgeon or Billy Graham. I just sort of feel that way. I sort of feel like he'd get the job better done than all these radio preachers, all of them put together. I think it'd be a whole lot cheaper, too. I don't know how much it costs to send an angel out. I know it costs multiplied billions of dollars. Do you know what the most expensive rocks in the world are? Moon rocks. Have you thought about the billions of dollars it took to bring back those rocks from the moon? Now, you can tell we're a bunch of idiots when it takes billions of dollars to go to a place like the moon and what you bring back rocks. That's cute. I like it. At any rate, that's the most expensive rocks there are. Diamonds? Nothing in comparison. With the amount of weight that was brought back, the weight of those rocks, I tell you, they're the most valuable rocks in the world. At any rate, there followed another angel, verse 8. Now we've had this 144,000 on this hill, Mount Zion, with the Lamb. They're going to go wherever he goes. We got an angel flying, preaching in heaven. Then we got another angel, and he goes around crying, Babylon is fallen, it's fallen. That great city, because you made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now do you know where Babylon falls? 17 and 18. Chapter 17 and 18 of Revelation. So we have an angel preaching an everlasting gospel. We got an angel declaring the fall of Babylon. And that's going to cause rejoicing in heaven. It's going to cause great pain, consternation on the earth. It's going to cause tremendous rejoicing in heaven. Now verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now I want you to notice we've had three tremendous messages by angels.
One angel is preaching the everlasting gospel, telling people to seek God. Another angel is walking around the earth as God's great trumpet, declaring the fall of Babylon, that wicked city that opposes God and has opposed the saints over the years. Then we have a third angel walking around giving a warning about hell. Anybody worships the devil, his beast, the prophet, the image, puts it on their hand, just even so they can eat. If they submit to him, what are they going to do? They're going to go to hell and burn forever. They're going to get the unmixed, undiluted wrath of God. Did you notice that? Look at verse 10. The saints will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. No mercy, no dilution, no easing of it. The unmixed, undiluted wrath of God poured out upon them. Be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now, I want you to think about that a minute. We got one angel preaching salvation. We got one angel preaching the death of Babylon's fallen. Got one angel preaching hell. Most preachers in the world, most modernists in the world, most liberals in the world do not like hellfire and brimstone preachers. They make fun of them. They preach positive things. They lift people's spirits. They do all sorts of things. They don't want to scare anybody into hell. Most of the teaching on hell comes from Jesus Christ himself, and then if there's any more descriptive language, it's this here that comes from an angel of God out of heaven. I want you to know, hell is no joke in heaven. Hell is no joke before God. Hell is no joke before Jesus Christ. Hell is no joke before the angel. Well, the smoke of their torment, they're tormented forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. Some of you are tired. You've been working hard today. You say, oh, I think I'm going to get home and rest. What if you never got a rest? You ever been so tired you couldn't sleep? I've been that way, you know, several times in my life, just too tired to sleep. And you're just miserable. You can't go to sleep. You don't want to get up. You can't rest. You can't sit up because you're too tired to sit up. You can't lay down because you're too miserable laying down. And that's nothing. That's nothing in comparison to what we're reading about. Hey, we got some angels doing some preaching. Amen, amen. Now, verse 12, we got the patience of the saints again. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. What's the patience of the saints? They know there's going to be a hell for those. I would rather see my kids starve to death here than go to hell for all eternity. I'd rather see my kid decapitated and my wife ruined and destroyed. I'd rather see people pulled out of the joints and tortured than to go to hell for all eternity. Hey, saints get some patience somewhere down the line. And looky here. Think about this. Look at verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write! Put it down. What's the message? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Man, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. If you die in the Lord, you're the blessed dead. You can get a better blessing than die in the Lord. As Bernie was saying last night when she talked about the funeral she'd heard about, that said this old saint was more alive than anybody in the room. Amen. If you and I really believed about heaven, what Paul believed about heaven, we'd all be trying to get killed. We'd be stepping out in front of cars, jumping off on towers or something, you know, trying to get there. What am I doing down here? What am I doing hanging around here? Paul said, I've seen it up there, and I've got a desire to part to be with Christ, which is far better. He said, I got a problem in my mind. He said, I need to stay here to be with you, but I sure would like to go home. Like he had a choice in the matter. Maybe he did. I don't know. He sort of discusses it in Philippians 1 like he got a choice in the matter. I'm not sure whether he did or not. But I do know when he said, write it, he said, blessed are the dead. What should I write? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Not just blessed are the dead. It's the dead that die in the Lord that are blessed. The only blessings in this book come to being in the Lord. And I looked and behold a white cloud. And upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. You know what a sickle is? You know what a sickle is? A sickle is a knife, generally on the end of a handle. Sometimes it's a little curved knife, about like that on a little short handle. Sometimes it might be a great big long curved thing on a long handle, even double handle thing. But they work real well. Sort of like a grass whip. We have a modern grass whip that we use to just go in there. They just do a tremendous job on it. And, of course, we've gotten so modern now, we've got everything to cut. We've got power lawnmowers and bushwhackers and all sorts of stuff like that going around chopping everything down, so we don't have to do that labor. When I grew up, we didn't have those things.
And in fact, my daddy didn't buy a power mower until I left the house, got married and left the house. Then he bought a power mower. But he didn't buy it. We had a $2.50 mower, one of those hand jobs. That's how I made my money, was mowing lawn for that hand thing. So, at any rate, I made a little money that way. I didn't make a whole lot. They didn't pay much in those days for mowing lawn. But, at any rate, he said, this one sitting on an angel. Now, you heard a fellow sitting on clouds? Yeah, in the heart. See, that wasn't so far-fetched after all, was it? We got it right out of the Word, man. We had one fellow sitting up there playing harps out of heaven. Now we got a fellow sitting on a cloud with a sickle getting ready to reap the earth. He's sitting on a cloud. Can you think of a more comfortable seat? Can you think of a more comfortable seat? Ah, oh, just a little bit of cushion there, a little thought. Sort of encourage him. White cloud. I like a white cloud. Amen. Yes, sir. Looks like Jesus. It may be Jesus. I don't know. It may be Jesus. It may be an angel that looked like him. But like unto the Son of Man, it sure sounds like the Lord, doesn't it? Okay. Behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown. Hey, this is a crowned one anyway. And in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple. Got a bunch of angels in this chapter, don't we?
Bunch of angels.
Doing the service of God. And another angel came out of the temple. What temple? That real temple wasn't made with hands, human hands. The one that Moses was just a type of. The Old Testament tabernacle and Moses' temple were simply types. They were simply copies of the original. This is the original temple in heaven. And another angel comes out of that temple with another message from the one in the temple. Came out of the temple crying with a loud voice. You give me a hard time sometimes because I'm just too loud. Well, you just wait till you get up there. People are going to be saying loud things all over the place. Y'all make fun of Linda because she squeals deep, deep, or whatever else that happens to be coming along. Now, let me tell you what. There are going to be some loud voices in heaven. She may be an angel with a loud voice. Might be Linda coming out of there, but that's fair. You just don't know. Just all the angels I find in heaven are men. But at any rate.
Amen.
Okay, another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. The time has come for thee to reap, and the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now that would sound pretty good if you didn't know the rest of the chapter. What kind of ripeness is it? It's ripe like Sodom and Gomorrah was ripe. It's ripe like the Hittites and the Jebusites, and all of them are ripe when God brought the children of Israel in to judge them and to conquer them and to kill every one of them. Man and woman, boy or girl, kill their animals and their beasts. They're ripe. They're ripe with homosexuality. They're ripe with bestiality. They're ripe with sin. Time's come. Judgment day's here. They're ripe. Thrust in your sickle and reap. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reap. Did it pretty quick, didn't it? And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had the power over fire and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth. And what did he do with it? He cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. You know what they do in a winepress? They crush the grapes. And all that's left of them is blood and pulp. They separate the blood from the pulp. It says, and the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the harsh bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now, you might check that. I could be wrong. I think 1,600 furlongs is 1,200 miles. That's what I've got at the top of my head. I don't have it written down. You can check it out with a dictionary. 1,600 furlongs, it'd be about 1,200 miles. Doesn't give you? That'd be a tenth then. 5,280 feet is a mile, so 580 feet would be a little over a tenth. So if we're looking at 1,600, it would be 160, wouldn't it? That'd be about 160 if I was wrong on the 1,200. But 160, okay? So we've got the blood coming out of the wine press. To the depth of the horse's bridle, what would that be? 3.5 feet, 4 feet, for 160 miles. Well, let's look at Isaiah 63:3. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Look at Lamentations 1:15, right after the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations of Jeremiah 1:15. The Lord hath trodden underfoot all my mighty men. In the midst of me he hath called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord hath trodden the virgin, the daughter of Judah, as in a winepress. 1:15, Lamentations 1:15. Look at Revelation 19:17-21. And I saw an angel standing in the sun and cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the armies of the earth and their armies, the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat upon the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and to them the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which had deceived them and received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These bulls were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Back at verse 15, it says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. King of kings and Lord of lords. It's going to be a lot of bloodshed. Awful lot of bloodshed. Well, let's look at chapter 15. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. That's harps again. And they sung the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. One of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. No man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Seven, 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 seven. Got seven more angels coming out of there. All right, let's look at this chapter. It's very short and very simple. If you've got any questions, why you ask them. Otherwise, it's almost self-explanatory. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Oh, that's something up here that just catches my attention. Great and a marvelous sign. Seven angels having the seven last plagues on earth. The seven last plagues on earth. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. Hey, God's wrath comes to its completion. God's wrath comes to his full. This is the day of Jacob's trouble. This is the day of Daniel's 70th week. This is the judgment of the earth. This is the time that Jesus was speaking about that never has been a time like before and never will be anything like it. Okay? Seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. Now, just get a picture. Remember, we're dealing with a vision. A sea of glass. What he saw. He's describing what he saw. He saw a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, hey, we got some here and got the victory. Not everybody fell to the beast. Not everybody on the earth is going to receive his mark. A lot of them are going to die. Some of them are going to be starved. Some of them are going to be beheaded. Some of them are going to go to jail. Some of them are going to be killed in various manners. These got the victory. Hey, it looked like the beast got the victory over them. But who got the victory? The ones that did not submit to the beast got the victory. It looked like the beast had the power to kill them and the power to destroy them, take everything that they had. And it looked like to their neighbors and friends and everybody around that they were the losers. But according to this message, they're not the losers. They're the winners. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image, hey, they beat that talking dummy, that idol that talked. They got the victory over it. And over his mark, they didn't take the mark in their hand or their forehead. And they beat the number.
666. Everybody's worried about 666. Here's a bunch that beat it. And they stand on that sea of glass. They got the 777. They didn't hit the 666. Having harps of God. Woo-hoo-hoo! Here we go again. Here's some harpers harping out his praise and his glory. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. That sounds Jewish to me. What are we seeing here? We're seeing Jews and those from the message of Jews getting ready for the kingdom of God to come in, and they have gotten the victory in the midst of the tribulation period. And they're standing on the sea of glass before God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Combination, Moses and the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thy King of saints. Now, you know what most of us do? We complain at the ways of God. Why does God allow this to happen to me? Why must I go through it this way? Why is it so much pain to grow up? Why is it such a labor to build a marriage? Why is it so hard to raise kids? Why is life so...
Ephesians is definitely a book. We need to learn to worship the ways of God. God's ways are always right. Even if it seems like it's hard to you at a given time, His ways are right.
Amen.
And they're up there. These people got starved. They were raped and beaten and torn apart and beheaded and tortured and denied privileges and mistreated on the earth. And listen to what they're singing. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Hey, are you a saint? He's the King of saints. Not only King of kings and Lord of lords, He's King of saints. And man, He wears a lot of crowns. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Who can look at God and not fear Him? Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus and said, good master, He said, why callest thou me good? Do you know who you're talking to, son? I am the good one. But do you know who you're talking to? Do you know why are you just calling me good like you call everybody good?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I the good one? Oh, who's only good? Who's only holy? The Lord. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. What is the tribulation period? It is the manifestation of the wrath and judgment of God Almighty. It's manifest. It's not hidden any longer. Right now, God's judgment is hidden. Right now, the wrath of God is not seen. It's preached about by a small minority of fundamental preachers in the world and not believed by most people, even in their congregations. And the rest of the world just laughs at the judgment of God and the wrath of God, and God is a great big Santa Claus, and God is a great big grandfather, and God never spanks, and God never judges, and you can sin all you want to, any way you want to, and get away with it. But here, the judgment of God and the wrath of God is made manifest. It's declared openly. After that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Woo-hoo! The door comes open. The temple opens up. We get to take a look inside, man. What's in there? I want to go in and look. Wait a minute. Somebody's coming out. Can't get in right now. There's seven great big fellows coming out. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues. You notice that word? Plagues. They were dressed, clothed in pure and white leather. Their breasts were girded with golden girdles. When a man gets ready to work, he girds himself at the waist. A priest or a king, he wasn't working. He girded himself at the belt. He just looked at a man's clothing in the old days and told what he was. He was a king or a priest, he wore a belt here. He were a fisherman or workman, he wore his belt out here. These guys come out. They're coming out of the temple. They've been the priests of God, angel priests, worshiping. They come out of the temple dressed as priests, girded at the paps, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. They got golden belts, though. One of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels, one of those cherubim or seraphim there, one of them that we saw over yonder, didn't tell us which one, gave unto the seven angels seven golden vases, vials. Sometimes vials are used for flowers. Sometimes they're used to store things. In this case, the last filling up of the wrath of God stored in seven vials, full of the wrath of God who liveth forever. You see, God is a God of wrath. The world doesn't like Him as a God of wrath. The world doesn't believe Him as a God of wrath, but God is a God of wrath. God's judgment grinds exceeding slow, but it is exceeding sure. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. You know, It's amazing how we find fire and smoke every time we get around God. Go back to Mount Sinai. What do you find? Fire and smoke. People exceedingly fear and quake. Even Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Wow, what am I walking into? Can you imagine? Oh, come on up. Ooh, I don't like what I see. No man can see my glory and live. So I'll just show you the last part, the least of my glory. Let my behind show as I pass by, just the end of the trail. Can't look at my face and live. And Moses' face shines like the sun in his strength just from a little touch of the least of the glory of God passing before him. People can't even stand to look at him. He's so bright. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. And the temple was filled with the glory of God. You notice when the temple's filled with the glory of God? When God's in judgment. God is in judgment. And from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple. How you doing? Good. No man was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Seven. The seven plagues of the seven angels. Got any questions? Took two chapters and they were short. Anybody got a question? All righty. You tired? You get to go home and rest tonight. Praise the Lord.
They were saved. They believed in Christ. The Holy Spirit baptized them into the body of Christ. What were they to be doing? What was to be done with them? They were to be baptized with water. Did the baptism by the Holy Ghost supersede water baptism? No. Christian baptism, believer's baptism, did not come about until after the resurrection of Christ, anyway. Because before that, the baptism of John unto repentance. Two different baptisms. Rightly divide the word of truth. One other thing, 1 Corinthians. Chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 asks the Lord's Supper. They say some do celebrate the Lord's Supper. Some ultra dispensationalists do. But there are those who don't even celebrate the Lord's Supper. They say it has nothing to do now with the present dispensation of grace that we find ourselves. But I think there's one statement. There's two things I'd just like to say very quickly. First of all, verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Notice this is a revelation from the Lord Jesus himself to Paul. If this thing was so important that had to be a direct revelation from Jesus Christ to Paul, don't you think this is something very much on the heart of Christ? It is. It was a direct revelation. Okay? And then also, notice verse 26 and ending. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. How long should the Lord's Supper be going on? Till he comes. So is it not to be practiced now? Foolishness. It's to be practiced till he comes. And I think many of us here can testify that truly some of the greatest times we've ever had in worshiping the Lord and had our hearts just taking up with him and adoring him has been at the Lord's Supper. What a waste. What a hurt to those who would not even practice now the Lord's Supper.
Okay, thank you.